You never know when the last time is, right? So thank you for having me. And I bring a hearty and sincere greeting from the saints in Denton. You know, the road travels both ways. So I think the balance is way in my favor, right? I'm just saying, come south when you can. Matthew 5, verse 8 is our text. Matthew 5, verse 8, a very familiar verse that you know. We sang, "Behold our God." I want to speak on that this morning. The pure in heart shall see God. Our Lord said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Let's pray again. Lord, we bless you this morning for the vision of God in the gospel. We thank you that the eyes of every Christian have been opened to see the glory of God in the face of Christ. Open our eyes this morning to see you, Lord. We pray that you would speak. We pray that you would let the eyes of our hearts, the eyes of our understanding, be enlightened today. That our hearts and our faith would be lifted up to see and experience you. Bless us together. We don't look to a man. We look to you, our Father, to bless your word for the sake of your people and for the glory of your Son. We pray in and through him. Amen. There's a wonderful Welsh hymn by Vernon Higham, which is not in our songbooks here, but there's the best line perhaps in any hymn I've ever seen. At least it's one of my favorites. In that hymn, it says this: "Our God is the end of our journey. Our God is the end of our journey." Now you just chew on that a little while. The Christian is on a journey of faith, and by faith we're looking unto Jesus. But one day we shall see him, because our God is the end of our journey. Now if that's true, that he is the end of our journey, then how do we make the journey? By looking. By seeing God, because the pure in heart shall see God. Remember, Hebrews 11 says Moses endured by what? Seeing him who is invisible. Have you seen Christ ever? Have you seen him lately, Christian? By looking away in your heart from the world, from yourself, and setting the eyes of your heart upon Christ again. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now the Beatitudes, in Matthew's account, there's 8 Beatitudes. In Luke, there's less than 8. But the Beatitudes are not commands to be obeyed so you can become a believer. They are realities declared about the Christian, about what's already true of them. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. So the Beatitudes are kingdom realities about those who are already in the kingdom. So in addition to being poor in spirit and mourning over sin and being meek and merciful and spiritual, hungry, the Christian is pure in heart already. If you're a believer, you have a pure heart. That doesn't mean perfect, right? But it means purified, whole, unified, with a new heart. And it's not just the mature or older Christian that has this. This is true for every Christian. The new Christian has a new heart. And, you know, the entire Sermon on the Mount is about the heart, really. Because Jesus always goes to the heart, and he still does. Because the heart, the Bible says, out of it flow all the issues of life. The heart is what Christianity is all about. The heart, the Bible says, is what we're to take heed to and watch over and search and make sure that our heart is in the right place. The heart is the source of all a man's trouble. Since the Garden of Eden, the heart is the source of every problem the world has ever had. And Scripture says God looks at the heart, and he searches the heart, and he knows the heart. But also he changes the heart of those who look to him. So we must have a pure heart, because only the pure in heart see God. It means cleansed and washed and made new. Now, this is the promise, the Bible says, of the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36. The prophet said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will put my laws in their hearts, that they might walk in my ways. So regeneration, the work of the Spirit of God, gives every believer a new and pure heart that's now alive and that is cleansed and that's new and has new desires and new ingredients of righteousness, washed. Where your desires that used to be there, that were wicked and evil, are gone. Basically gone. And new reality is there. A pure heart is given by the Spirit, and it's permanent. And the heart is radically changed. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5 says, it becomes a new creation. Old things have passed away. All has become new in the work of God in the heart. And this new heart experiences then amazing realities. Whereas you were proud, now you're meek. Whereas you love sin, now your heart mourns over the sin and it grieves you when you sin. I remember when I was saved, when I was 19, the first job I had after I became a Christian was working in a gas station. The full service stations, you know, that would also fix a flat and check your oil and pump your gas. Those are dinosaurs now. They don't exist anymore. But I pumped gas when it was 19 cents a gallon. And I checked the oil and I had to fix flats. So I was in fixing a flat one day and a tire tool came down on my finger of my thumb, and the pain was so bad I let out a curse word. 19 years old. I'd been a Christian 4 weeks. And suddenly the pain in my hand faded in light of the pain that was in my heart, that out of my mouth had come cursing. And that was, I never was good at math. That was 50 years ago this summer. And by God's grace, since that day, a foul word has never come out of my mouth. Now, the enemy's planted them in my mind more in times of temptation to say it, but a new heart. God gives a new heart. And the greatest thing about it is the last beatitude says that this heart is pure and sees God. Now, the Old and New Testament authors declare that believers have pure hearts. Psalm 73:1. Truly God is good to Israel, even those who are pure in heart. 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal of our instruction is love out of a pure heart. And 2 Timothy 2, Paul exhorts us to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Peter 1, having purified your souls, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So this theme is huge in the New Testament. Now, let me just pause and ask you individually, children, young people, the oldest one in the room, do you have a pure heart? Has your heart been purified, truly been purified? Not externally. The kingdom of God is not meat or drink or externals, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Has your heart been made pure and new? Not perfect, but changed, truly changed. If not, you will not see God except in judgment. What is promised to the pure in heart? What's the promise? Well, you know what it is. Blessed are the pure in heart for what? They shall see God. Brethren, think how much higher and better that promise is than all the other promises in the Beatitudes. Seeing God is better than just getting in the kingdom. It's better than your pride turning to meekness. It's better than being spiritually hungry and thirsty and getting filled. It's even better than being called a child of God, because the pure in heart see Him. That's better than being meek. The pure in heart see God Himself in the face of Jesus Christ, Paul says. And Jesus, think of this, Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So you know spiritually with your eyes, the eyes of your mind and your heart, you know spiritually what God the Father is like. You have a right view of Him. Because Jesus says, he who has seen me, if you've seen the glory of God in the face of Christ, you've seen the Father too. What a wonderful thing. Every believer sees God. And that's the promise. Now think about how primary in life seeing is. I mean, I was anticipating coming. But I would not say this morning, you know what, sure, I sure look forward to hearing you. We don't say that. No, we say, I look forward to seeing you. Tom, it's good to see you. Right? Seeing is so amazing. You know, 2 years ago, Linda and I went on a road trip to California. We went on a road trip to California to see her son, and it was a 45th wedding anniversary trip. And we stopped at the Grand Canyon on the way. You know, it's one thing to hear about the Grand Canyon. It's another thing to watch a good documentary on it. But it's altogether different when you walk to the edge.
Wow.
Right? You ever been there? You know what I'm talking about. And then you drive to 15 or 18 lookout points and you get out again. And you're just in awe. You don't have words. It's just like seeing is experiencing. It is. You see the Lord experiencing Him. You are forever blinded ultimately to anything else. Amen. That everything else is lesser and seeing Christ as your all in all. Seeing is experiencing. Now here in this beatitude, it's amazing how it's translated accurately. They shall continually be seeing God themselves. So this is a continual reality going on. Since you were converted, you've been seeing the Lord more and more. Your eyes are open to the glory of the Savior. And you began to be drawn in. Man, this is good. You start reading the Bible and you're feasting. This is so good. And you see more about the Savior. And you're then on this journey where He is revealing His glory to you more and more. And He becomes bigger and more glorious and more wonderful and more gracious and more real. And you're tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. And unto you that believe, He is precious, whom having not seen you love. But you have seen Him. Not with these eyes. That's coming. That's point number two. Blessed are your eyes, Jesus said, that see these things, that hear these things. So what does it mean to see God, and how did the pure in heart actually see Him? To see God means to see with spiritual sight that's real and experiential, to see with spiritual sight and understanding in the heart and mind. The Lord increasingly, suddenly, initially, and then increasingly becomes real to us. And we see Him and experiencing Him relationally. Your eyes see the reality of God in Jesus Christ. Because now we have eyes that have been open. And the Lord's real to us. Now, Jesus here isn't speaking of seeing Him in heaven only. It's not just futuristic. They shall see God. It's much more than this. And here are my two main points this morning. Number one, we see God in the present now. Number two, we see Him in the future then. In the present now, in the future then. First, the believer's heart sees God in the present, now. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 4. I want you to see this verse because this is so wonderful. It's so amazing. It's so deep. Have any of you been to into Carlsbad Caverns down in there in New Mexico? Yeah. I've always battled claustrophobia a little bit. So you go down to this deep, deep cavern, and it's dark. And it's eerie, and it's like, you know, I think I was 20, and I wanted to hold on to a 10-year-old kid to keep me steady, you know. It was a little scary, but you go down in there, and then suddenly there's lights, and what you see is amazing. This verse is like that. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Just hear what Paul says here. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now just unpack this here with me. God commands light to shine, right? In the beginning, God commanded light, and it exists. It suddenly came. God created the light. Here in the gospel, Paul's saying God commands light to shine. But where does he cause it to shine? Not in creation originally. He commands light. He has shined in our what? Hearts. Charles Wesley wrote, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke. The dungeon flamed with light." God, in regeneration, shines the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ through the gospel, and suddenly there's light in our hearts forever. Now we're no longer in darkness, but we're in light permanently, not just externally, but inwardly. God shines the light of the gospel into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. We see God in Christ. And that's the only place he can be seen, is in Christ. But you know what? It's neat. When you see the light of God in Christ, then even the light of God through creation, heaven above is softer blue. You see the glory of God in creation that you never saw before. I have sat on the porch of Bob and Joanne Regis' house a number of times. And there were times I was out there looking at the cows, seeing the birds fly by. And I had a worship service, just me and him. I didn't skip out on church. I came here later. But listen, Christless eyes can't see anything. But the eyes of believers see God in all things. And it's so amazing. Because of the gospel, our eyes have been opened to see the Lord in everything. And you know what? The vision of God is the goal and experience of the pure in heart in all of life. Because God is the end of the journey. We see the Lord. The believer sees the Lord in everything. We open the Bible and read it, and we see Christ. We see God. We see more about his glory. We see more of his purposes in us. We see him convict us of sin. We see him give us exceeding great and precious promises that encourage our hearts. And then you've been with this book, but Christ is made alive through it. And you meet with him. The book is the means, it's the path to meet him and experience him. We see God in the Bible as we read it and we feast on it. We see the Lord in the church. You're with a sister, you're with a brother, you come in discouraged, you talk with a brother, and suddenly your heart is strengthened and encouraged. You go away encouraged. You saw God in the brother or the sister. And he ministered to you. We see God in prayer when he meets with us. We see him in his providences in our lives. Or we see the Lord did this. He allowed this. He's at work in me. We see him by walking in faith, looking unto Jesus. We persevere seeing Christ, whom we've not seen, who we love. So if you and I have a pure heart, the believer looks for the Lord and sees God in all things. We see Christ in our marriage and in our family. Our children often point us to the Lord, causing us to depend on Him more. Our marriage. Linda and I have been married 46 years this year. And I see Christ in her more than I've ever seen before. And it ministers to me. On a vacation, on a trip, the believer's heart says, Lord, be in our journey. Keep us in our way. Let us experience what you want on this trip. And then you experience a good trip, and then you thank God for it. Lord, how good you were to give us this trip. I mean, the believer, when he goes to the Grand Canyon, doesn't walk away and say, you know what amazing thing evolution can accomplish? What an amazing accident. No, we go away and we say, look at the power and wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Right? It's astounding. In earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes, we see the power of God. In wars and rumors of wars, we see God working out His purposes in history through hard things. In our food and drink daily, we see, we bow our heads and we say, Lord, thank you that the food we're eating comes from you. A man can receive nothing except it's given to him from heaven. Lord, thank you. In the Lord's table when we take communion, we don't just see dead symbols. We see the body and the blood of the crucified one who paid for our sins. In the offering of his body, in the offering of his blood, we see the life-giving death of the Lamb, and we see God in that ordinance. Saturday morning, I got off late from Denton Saturday, so I stopped in Wichita to spend the night. And I came out Saturday morning. It was cold. Wasn't quite as cold as it was this morning here, but it was cold. And I walk out. And the crisp cold air hits me. And the breeze is blowing. And I said, Lord, send the breezes of your Holy Spirit in these days. Because I saw God in the wind and in the crispness of the air. And I looked at the tree, the colorful leaves on the trees moving. And I thought of the Lord. And that hymn we sang earlier, the second line says this, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow. Flowers with deeper beauties shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am His and He is mine. Amen. Brethren, you can see the glory of God in one drop of dew on one blade of grass if you're looking. What a wonder it is. Or in the birth of a new calf, right, Joanne? God's glory is seen. Or in a sunset or a sunrise. Or in the birth of a child. And even in the death of a loved one. Because The Christian sight then is the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be His name. We see God in all of life. If we have blessed eyes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In death, death is something that the unbeliever normally can't face because they can't see it correctly. But the Christian, to the Christian, they know to die is gain. It's far better to depart and be with Christ. The Christian lives by seeing God. And so the believer in our journey, we're always lifting our eyes to the Lord, to focus on Him. It was when Peter looked at Jesus after he had denied the Lord three times. We think of Jesus looking at Peter, but it was when Peter looked at Jesus that his heart melted in repentance, and he went and wept bitterly. Seeing your sin in light of who He is and in light of what He's done for you will melt your heart in repentance. Hebrews 2:9 says, "And now we do not yet see all things subject to Him." But, the writer says, we do see Jesus. The nearness of God is my good. Seeing the Lord will break the power of temptation and sin in your life. Seeing the Lord afresh will lift your heart up from discouragement. Seeing the Lord will fill you with faith and with the Holy Spirit. And confusion and discouragement and depression will flee as we keep looking away from ourselves and set our eyes on Him. Remember 2 Chronicles 20, when the nations had surrounded Israel and fear was setting in. And Jehoshaphat ultimately said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. And God won the battle. So brethren, seeing the Lord, we press on. We look and see and taste and see that the Lord is good. I love Psalm 124, where the psalmist said, "Unto thee I lift up my eyes, as the eyes of servants and the eyes of handmaids look to their master or their mistress, so our eyes look unto the Lord our God." That hymn I referred to by Vernon Higham, two stanzas say this, and this is what we often need. "I saw a new vision of Jesus, a view I'd not seen here before. Beholding in glory so wondrous, with beauty I had to adore. I stood on the shore of my weakness and gazed at the brink with such awe. 'Twas then I saw Him in newness, regarding Him fair and so dear." When was the last time, as a believer, suddenly the Lord became so much more glorious and fresh and new in your vision of Him, seeing Him? This sheds new light on Jesus' prayer in John 17 for us. Just listen to His prayer, part of His prayer. "Father, I desire that they whom You've given Me will be with Me in order that they might see My glory." You know, it's amazing to think about it. If you're a believer here today, how is it that you can love someone, the someone, more than any earthly thing or person, but you've never actually seen him? How is it that you can love him more than anything else or anyone else? He is, Christ is, most glorious and real. He's the supremely important one. He is what the pure in heart desire and seek and see. Because you have a pure heart and you see him. Now that fails me to speak. Time fails me really to speak on the second point. That we see him not just now, presently, but also then in the future we shall see him. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Every saint that I've loved on this journey, that I miss, are seeing him now with unhindered vision. And they don't need these weak eyes in this human body. They're seeing him face to face in fullness. Now we see him then face to face because the pure in heart are going to see God for all eternity. That's the end of the journey. Are you on that journey? You got to know. You got to know. Your eyes need to be open to see the glory of God in the face of Christ. Or you won't see him then. If you don't see him now in this life, you won't see him then except in judgment, in terror. Let me close with a wonderful thought from Spurgeon. Oh, how sweet the prospect when we shall not behold him at a distance, but then face to face. If it is sweet now to see him with our hearts, then nothing will hinder us to gaze on his blessed face with uninterrupted communion with Jesus forever. And that is why to die is gain. To see and worship him forever. So, beloved, seek his face. The Bible tells us, seek the Lord, seek his face, seek his voice, seek his presence. Because only the pure in heart see God. I want us to sing a hymn in closing. 511. Sing it in faith. Sing it with a fresh perspective of what the hymn says. 511. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. 511.